this is the NLA Hamnet. My name is Terry Moore. I'm KI0RE, and I'm conducting the net. And this will be a directed net, so I'm going to ask for check-ins, and then I'm going to go back through and see if anybody wants to talk. When you want to talk or you want to check in, please give your call sign, if you have one, your state and your name. If you don't have a call sign, give me your state and your name. And we'll go down through and take check-ins first, and then I'll talk about something that has to do with ham radio. And if anybody has any questions, don't ask them yet, but when you check in, just tell me you have traffic, and I will get back to you in the order that you check in. So I would like to ask for all check-ins come now.
Don Levine, Kilo, Delta, 8, Uniform, Tango, Sierra. Copy?
I copy. All right, go ahead. Anybody else?
This is check-in for Kilo Whiskey 4 X-Ray Golf, Wonder Ann.
Thank you, Wonder Ann. Any more check-ins?
This is check-in for Brad from Pennsylvania. No call sign. Over.
Thank you, Brad. Anybody else?
Check-in for Pennsylvania Jan. No call sign yet. Still looking.
Still looking? You passed it, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, it was on a Tuesday. It might even be 2 weeks ago now. They're getting kind of slow.
Should be there soon. I'll look while I'm listening to somebody tonight.
Okay, anybody else?
I'm sorry?
I got some FCC paperwork, but no call sign in it.
Really? Was it the one to say, now you're part of the system? Did you go up into the system and look?
Yep, they've got my number, or I've got their number. I'm not sure which.
We'll look for it tonight. Okay, anybody else want to check in?
Paul in Michigan.
Thank you, Paul. We're glad you're here. Do you have any traffic?
None.
Okay. Anybody else want to check in?
Jan in Kansas.
Well, hi, Jan. It's good to hear
Hello,
you.
Hello, Terry.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. Was that something? Anybody else want to just check in? Let us know you're here.
This is Veronica in Pennsylvania, just listening in.
Well, thanks, Veronica.
10-4.
And you're in PA, right?
This week.
Correct.
Okay.
Where am I going next week, Jan?
I don't know. I'm wondering.
So we have three people from PA. That's pretty good. All right. Any other check-ins? Okay. As we go about tonight, I'll call for check-ins right before we leave, and I hope to be done by about 11:45. I didn't get a feeling that anybody had any traffic. They wanted to hear what I had to say. Okay. If I'm wrong, Don, do you have any traffic?
Hi, I was muted.
That's okay. Go ahead, Don.
We had a great meeting last weekend with the OTFers. It was a communications meeting. We had quite a number of people come out with new radios that they picked up for the training that took place. We established some frequencies. We set up a file for people to use to program their radios. answered questions about use, demonstrated a high-frequency system with a complete setup, including a telescoping antenna somebody brought. It was quite a display. They had a high-frequency unit there. It was an ICOM 1700, I think, or 7700. They had a mobile 2-meter unit in the car with two different types of antennas to show us, told us where to get them all and how to set them up. He also had a portable solar power unit, and his high-frequency radio that he used for the demonstration was powered by the solar panel and battery and control panel that he had set up. So he was operating on his own power that he generated himself right there. A very, very exciting display. But mostly what I'm excited about is that everybody's getting radios. They're getting them programmed and moving in a very good direction. I'm getting us set up on this side or on the Oakkeeper side. And when we get there and get going on the NLA side, like I said, down the road, I'd like to tie them together. So I'm just real excited about the progress that we made. Over.
Well, excellent, Don. That sounds like you had a pretty good day. I'm glad to hear it. And I wish we could do more like that. And I appreciate the report. And listening to HF is quite a bit different than listening to Wide FM on VHF and UHF, is it not?
Definitely.
It's a different animal.
Yep.
Okay.
We have some folks on the high frequency unit talking to us from down in North Carolina.
Oh, nice. That's a good reach.
Yep, it was awesome.
I can tell you a little bit about what I did once, and I don't want to get a war or anything, but our family took a vacation back in 2003 or something, 2008. I can't remember exactly when it was. But we went to Washington, D.C. We wanted to see all the sites in Washington, D.C. And one of them was Smithsonian. And they had a little sit up there that said, somebody comes and operates this radio every month, and they'll be right here. I said, well, we're coming up. Bart Jr.'s are going to have a W0W special event station this day. And I left a message. And sure enough, we got called by the Smithsonian Institute and made a contact here in Colorado from all the way across the state. So that was a lot of fun. All right.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry?
I said that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It shows you the power of HF and just making a little bit of, you know, almost not every time, but it sure helps to get into a routine where you do it at the same time. Every day, week, month, whatever it is. But otherwise, you have to make some kind of contact outside of the radio and then start going. It's a little easier when everybody knows what to listen to. And that's why the two call channels on VHF and UHF, because that's what we're talking about right now, were made. One is 146.52 megahertz, and one is 446.0 megahertz, and you can call out to anybody looking for somebody, so it's a good thing to listen to if other communications are down. And then once you make a contact there, the idea is move to a repeater or some other simplex frequency that can be used, and that way you've got one frequency. You've drawn it down from an infinite number of frequencies or some finite number of frequencies down to a single frequency to make contact on. And that's direct, person to person. So is there anybody that wants to ask a question, make a comment or a suggestion, or that has any traffic?
I guess this is Pennsylvania Jan. I could say a couple things. the emergency communications plan, CAM, that's now under the COS on its own page, I moved all of the audio files for all of our meetings to the bottom of that page now. They were under the COS page. So if you went looking for them, couldn't find them, they're now at the bottom of our ham page, so to speak. I was going to put the phonetic alphabet on, and when I did, the table blew up to about 3 times normal size when you entered it in the website, so I removed it again. I'll have to figure out how to keep it from doing that, and then I'll repost it for you. So you'll all have the phonetic alphabet by next week, I hope. Over.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you. And, Jan, I did have one. Let's just say, does anybody know how to move a table in without getting it without it blowing up into something different and getting too big? Anybody got any experience with any of that? Call them out.
I guess the only thing I didn't try was to make it a PDF first and make it about size 8 type. That's my next try. Over.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. If anybody, if the memory comes back up and you know what how to solve Jan's problem, please give a call at any time. I do have one thing. The statement of the meeting on the ham communication, emergency communication page, says that we meet on Thursday night. And I'm wondering if that can get fixed.
Is that what it says?
Well, I'm going back to make sure. That's what I remember seeing yesterday. Yep.
Yeah,
Thursday night recording.
Right. Yeah, the time.
Well, you need the time, but it's also Wednesday night.
All right. Well, I'll change that for you.
Okay. It's a minor thing, and the line right below it says Wednesday night.
Right.
But I just want to eliminate the confusion.
Good eye. Thank you much, over.
Okay, thank you. All right. So I am, I guess I'm in the enviable position wanting to teach y'all something. Is there any topic or question that people would like to ask about or know about? Call now.
This is Brad. Go ahead, ladies first.
Oh, this is Jan in Kansas, and I don't know if you guys already talked about it or not. Wonder Ann just did a really good job last week. You'd have been proud of her, Terry. She did it like she'd been having the meetings for a year. So it was really good. And then thank you, whoever let me go ahead. I wondered, what is the difference? I went to the library and looked up to see where the hams are in my area, and there are just really, there doesn't seem to be very many. Like, it looks like the nearest one is about 20 miles from me. So would our radios that we have for in LA, are they going to transmit that distance? And then the other thing is, if the answer to that is no, I'm by the interstate here, would it be better for me to get a CB radio? Over.
The little radios can go. They need two things. One, as much power as you can stand to drive into them so that they can up the signal. And then even more important, though, is a good antenna. Get your antenna outside and up as high as you can get it. That helps get the distance, too. And, of course, one of the easy things that you can say is, well, if I have a repeater, if I can talk to the people in the next wherever, next town, if I have a repeater between us, then I can go and just talk on that repeater, and we can have our communications across the repeater. So there's several ways to find out which would work the best. Get in touch with your local hams, and I'm surprised that you don't have a local ham that's closer than that. And did you look on the ARRL?
No.
Uh-uh.
No, I didn't.
Well,
I just looked
up. That might be a good place to look because you look for the club. And once you find the club, they'll put you in touch with everybody else.
Okay. I did find the club and the guy who runs it, but it just didn't seem to be very big. But I'll do that, ARRL club.
.org. Okay. Now, your second question, should you go to CB? Dare I say this? CB stands for Citizens Band. And not all hams, but some hams called it Children's Band is what CB stands for. It is effective communications, and I don't want to discourage you from using it. It's about 11 meters, which is right below the 10-meter ham band. They don't share any frequencies, but you're certainly welcome to use it and try it, and you might get a few more people. And that might be the only emergency communications that work for you. But as you establish your community of safety, you want to progress to a little bit better communication.
Okay.
The Citizens Band suffers from everything that HF suffers from. So there's skip coming in at odd times. There's a lot of people that, since they're not being regulated, they put linear amplifiers on there with 100 or more watts, and they try and get the signal to skip and talk all the way across the country. Hams do that legally. Citizens bands, you're not supposed to. Will it go far enough? Maybe. It just all depends. And I can't talk to your conditions because I don't know the area where you're at. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Over.
I have a suggestion and some information about that. Over.
Okay, go ahead.
Don Levine, KD8, UTF. I was just, while she was talking, I went to repeaterbook.com. And when you go to repeaterbook.com, then right under where it says home, about a third of the way down the page, it says repeater database. If you click on that, you find out that there are 277 repeaters in Kansas. That's quite a good number, and they didn't grow there by themselves. So there's a strong group of hams running around that state putting those up. So the first thing you ought to do is go there and get the frequencies for those repeaters and find out where they are and see if you can get on those repeaters and talk to somebody. Or sometimes and I got off page, so I didn't look at it, but it will tell who owns the repeater. And in that case, that will give you somebody to try and contact as well. So that's repeaterbook.com. Over.
Okay. Thank you. Over.
Big help, Don. Thank you very much. Good input.
You bet.
Brad, I think you were next, and you patiently waited. Please go ahead now.
Thank you. Once again, this is Brad from EA. excuse me. I was, did you say that there is, I was under the assumption the high frequency is regulated and you don't have skip traffic like the citizen band. And also, I have some local clubs here in my area, so I just gotta reach out to them and get set up with them. And I also do have a Bofang. Picked up one, so I have it. So any programming on that would be useful. And well, let's start with that. Over.
Okay, Brad, to address your first question, HF is regulated. The ham, because it can go worldwide with the right power and the right conditions, you could be talking to yourself if you can understand that. So the ham bands on the HF are generally the bandwidth used is a little bit larger if you have a higher license. If you're a tech, first step in the license, you'll get certain privileges on HF, namely the 10-meter band. If you go and get your general, then you can start using some other bands on HF. And then if you get your extra, you can use anything that is available for ham radio. Now, there are certain parts of the band that are allocated for Morse code or continuous wave, or CW is what hams call it. That means continuous wave. The wave is either there and you hear it as a tone in your ear, or it's not and you hear it as a blank space. And the thing about HF, and Don might back me up on this since he heard it recently, is it's scratchy and noisy and everything else. And most of the modes that are on there are AM type modes or continuous wave. Continuous wave uses a lot less energy to get the same distance because you're not trying to encode that. Your code is whether it's there or not and how long it's there. So if it's in there for just a dip, then that's a dot. If it's in there for a da, that's a da. And you combine dits and the da's and you develop, you have Morse code. You can send information. That takes less energy to go a long distance, and that's why they like Morse code so much. You get up on a HF band and you can talk for hours to all kinds of different people all over the world in Morse code. You never hear their voice. It takes a lot more energy to encode on your way, your standard carrier wave, for either AM, which is amplitude modulated, which does both sides at the same time, just like your AM radio does, or single sideband. And what they do is that on single sideband, they modulate it, and then the last step before it gets amplified, they take out the carrier and the other side of that AM signal. So all you're sending is just one half of a sideband, just one part of the modulation. And then on the other side, your carrier is put back at the right frequency, and it just duplicates the wave on the other side with what it received, and you end up hearing somebody's voice. So it that's maybe a little more technical than we need to get, but there you go. That's kind of what happens on a single sideband. Okay, now you had a second question. I'm sorry.
Let's expand on that one then, because that doesn't sound like it is generally. That's more advanced than, say, I don't know what the percentage of ham users are running high frequency. So what are the three steps as far as ham operators? Where is the most traffic at? Which is going to be the most effective communication tool I can use for stateside only?
Somebody got a child yelling?
Yes, we took care of the problem.
It's different at different times. The reason that the hams have allocations all up the band in 160 meters and 80 meters and 40 meters and 15 meters and 20 meters, they have all these different bands that they can use. Every one of them is subject to the conditions at hand and that, you know, how ionized is the layer that's reflecting that particular band.
Gotcha.
And as you get higher than about 50 megahertz, those bands just go right through those layers. But below there, the energy, the wavelength is long enough, the energy is low enough that they just bounce off between the ground and that layer that's bouncing them.
Okay.
There's about five or six layers and I haven't studied it lately, so I couldn't tell you. But the idea is that by you select the band that you get the best communication on. So you do it, and you try every band for a few nights, and you find out that 40 meters during the day is just cooking. I can talk to the world. At night, it goes away. I can't talk anymore. And then you find out that 80 meters does better at night, or you find out that 20 meters does better at night. And then you say, well, there's a lightning storm. That could affect it. Anything could affect it in the atmosphere. And so
you're just traversing. You're just traversing to find your balance, is what you're saying, and that's giving
that's
you
right.
option
you,
to where you
use the different bands. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
And your different levels of testing, I guess, give you that frequency range to find out where your bounce is going to be at different times of the day, because that bounce changes based on the conditions of the weather.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
It changes due to weather.
It changes due to the weather, due to the time of day, and due to the activity on the sun.
Gotcha, the sun.
Because what these these layers are, if you go look up sun weather, look up sun weather, and you'll find out some more about that. But the sun, if it's putting out a lots of solar wind, like it does when the sunspots are high, it will ionize the atmosphere a little better. And that's what you're bouncing off of, is the ionized layers of the atmosphere at different heights.
That's basically the that's what our atmosphere is doing, is filtering the bad radiation, so to speak, from the sun. So it's actually bouncing off of that filtered radiation. That's the ionization you're talking about?
Yeah, I would like to say it just a little differently. I think what you've got the right idea. But what it does is it absorbs some
right.
of that energy. So if the sun is putting out a lot of energy, one of your layers, or maybe a lot of your layers, will be more energetic. And because they're more energetic, they've been ionized, they have lots of free stuff, your radio wave goes up, hits it, and it bounces more easily than at other times. So if you have low sunspot activity, usually have, and I could have it backwards, so please forgive me if I'm telling you wrong.
I got the basic idea of what you're saying. I understand now. We're just reversing the sun, really.
Yeah, we are. And so it at times, this layer and this layer work good. I think it was, what was it? The E. There's a sporadic E. When you have the right conditions, you can talk to somebody like they're sitting in the next room on sporadic E to Hawaii, because it builds it ionizes two layers, and your signal gets up to through the first layer, bounces around all just like a duck, and then drops out over Hawaii or someplace else. And sporadic E happens, and it might go 20 miles or 120 miles or 10,000 miles. You just never know. It's pretty rare that it goes that long, but there's all kinds of weird stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Very much so.
Okay, now you had a second question. I'm sorry I didn't write it down.
Well, I listened to some of the recordings from your past meetings. Nobody's using analog anymore, so everybody's looking for the digital for frequencies, which is good, I guess. I guess just more, it's probably not really good to ask questions here. It's better to get hooked up with my local ham guys and see what it is that.
Oh, absolutely. But I'd like to say something about that. Which is more reliable? It's faster to talk to somebody on the internet if you can do a Skype session.
Right.
You can get a message across. But maybe, you know, Skype has to go to the servers, wherever the Skype servers are. And if you're talking to somebody a long way away, it might even go all the way to the UK and back to them. So let's say the UK goes down and the satellite goes down, the cable goes down, and they have no internet connection. You can still talk to somebody in the States,
right,
but not as well. Then your video falls off because everybody's saturating it. Well, email's pretty good. You can exchange communications and information via email. But, you know, it depends upon the internet and that your relay servers are working and that it can get routed. You go one step more than that, the internet's down. Well, you still got a phone call. You can call somebody on the phone and talk to them, except if you have a VoIP phone and it digitizes it and sends it back. So the idea is you have a spectrum of capabilities. Think about those capabilities and what can you do when you're missing A and B, but you do have C. And what it comes down to is that ham radio is another way to communicate that doesn't rely on internet. It doesn't rely upon phone service. It doesn't rely on carrier pigeons. You can go direct in a verbal communication. You can go direct. We have a TV repeater here. You tune your TV to channel 58, and whatever a ham is putting up on that repeater, you can watch it. So you hook a TV antenna and then tell it, I'm on cable channel 58. And it tunes up that frequency. And so anybody with an antenna can watch that. So there's all kinds of little things like this. I agree, you're right, that you can ask a lot of questions of your local ham. But one thing I want to say more is that, yes, there are digital things and digital repeaters, and they do amazing stuff. They will tell you where somebody is on their GPS immediately if that repeater's up. So the idea is, as long as you keep that repeater up, you'll be fine. As soon as that repeater goes down, the radio...
I got you, Paul. I got you about 3x5 right now. You're breaking up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, you're kind of doing a robot thing there for a little bit.
Okay, I apologize. I had to use my cell phone because my VoIP phone wasn't working today. I will have a conversation with them tomorrow. Okay, am I coming through all right?
Yeah, you're breaking up. You're still about 3x5.
Okay, I apologize. So think of it as a spectrum of communication channels. And I hate to use the word channels, but media that you can use. You can use electronics, but you've got to have wires. You can use cell phones, but you have to have cell towers or Wi-Fi. If you're using the Wi-Fi, you have to have the internet. If you don't have internet, you can still communicate using radio waves. So you need to think of it, your communication capabilities are quite dependent upon what is available and what isn't. Maybe the internet's working, but it's only working for everything west of the Mississippi, and we can't talk east of the Mississippi. For that, we have to rely on ham radio. So it gets very complex very fast. I've talked too much already. Does that answer your question, Brad?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions or topics they'd like to discuss?
This is Frank in Scottsbluff. I came in early. I came in late. Sorry. I have a question about charging the battery for the Baofeng. Is there such a thing as a solar charger available? Over.
I don't know of one, but I do know that hams are used to, if it doesn't exist, they build it if that's what they need. Now, I can think of several ways where you can take just a regular Okay, let's start with the Bofang that I have is a $30 one, $40 one, $50 one, something like that. I got it before we had the deal up on the NLA, but it has a little stand that you put it in. That stand is plugged into the regular house current with a little, what they call a wall wart. A wall wart is just a little transformer that takes the voltage down and gives you DC voltage rectified to the voltage you need. So, in actuality, if that's similar to what you have, you could take anything that produces that voltage that the transformer needs and plug it in. Well, I have a backup generator that runs totally on solar power. There's a big battery in it, and I could plug it into one of the ports on there. And as long as that solar panel is facing the sun, I would get it. I have taken smaller batteries, a 7-ampere gel cell, like a motorcycle battery, and I charged my radio battery every night on that, and then I was judiciously using that radio all day long at a scout camp to talk to my other leader that I needed to talk to, anybody else, frankly, who was on at the camp and had a radio. So I actually turned that, I would charge it every night on that, just leave it hooked up, and the battery would be much better charged in the morning, and then I'd use it all day, but I wouldn't transmit all day. I would listen most of the day. And I'd use it very judiciously. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm not the electric whiz for connecting my wall board, say, to a car, a wall board to the car battery. It would take a bit of an adapter for me, but I'll look into that.
It's called an inverter, and it so you can get them. I have one I'm looking at right now that I can plug it into my the old cigarette lighter. I can plug it in there, and it gives me one plug on the back. I can plug my wall wart into that and charge my radio. So, yes, there's many ways that you can do that. And just all you got to do is find the one that works for you. All you have to have is a little more voltage, just a little bit more. More voltage than what it requires.
And so the 12 volt would work great for the 9 volt. Yes.
Right. Something like that. And maybe too much. Maybe you have to step it down, and that's where you need some electrical experience or knowledge to build the right step down so you don't drain the battery and you don't blow out your battery on the radio. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
They do make a Bofang battery eliminator, which you can plug into the cigarette lighter on your car, and it will charge your little Bofang for you. It's only a 7.4 volt battery on your Bofang, and so anything higher than that will charge it. But that's set up so that you won't damage anything, and it'll work directly off your car battery. It's available on our website, too, or elsewhere, if you want.
Yeah, I don't know about that. The one that I got, it replaces the battery in the back. So you can run it off your car battery, but it doesn't charge the battery that you have carrying around.
Okay.
So you got to look at the situation and be get enough knowledge and try some of this stuff. So that
Harry
you can
Harbor.
Whatever the situation is. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Harbor Freight has a pretty nifty little setup for a portable solar unit. And all you'd have to do is walk into a Harbor Freight and tell them you're looking for solar and what you want to do, and they can hook you up. Over.
Yeah, hey, I just want to add to that. I have the Harbor Freight Kit. It's 45 watts. You can get 100 watts from Amazon for less money. And also the battery, Home Depot has a 100-amp battery for $65, Deep Cycle Marine battery. Doesn't get any cheaper than that. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, without going too much into too much detail, no detail at all, make your battery needs match what you use the radio for. So if you're using a radio a lot during the day, maybe you take a battery or two with you, and as you see the signal starting to go down and you're not hearing as well, swap out your battery. Maybe that's the problem. Then you have three batteries to charge at night. A large car battery will charge 3, 4, 5, 6 batteries at night, all night long, with no problem. it'll run. And there's ways to figure that, and I didn't want to get into that here, but it's in the licensing manual. All right. Does that answer your question, Frank?
Yes, thank you very much, Terry.
Okay.
Over.
All right. Does anybody else want to contribute or comment or make a suggestion?
Terry, I have a question.
Yes.
How is the group doing on getting into picking up their hardware? Are you getting any feedback about that? Over.
Jan?
Say again.
How is the group doing about buying those radios and getting the capability to talk? Do you have any feeling for that?
I know they have shipped probably on the order of 20 so far. I don't know how many orders they have to date, but that's less than one per state so far. So we need to up the ante a little bit here.
Well, I picked up my own.
Go ahead.
This breath. Yeah, I picked up my own hand unit, so.
Yeah, we have no record of when people buy it from someplace else, so I can't comment on how many actually own one. I actually have one as well.
Yeah, same here. Now, who was asking that question? Was that you, Paul?
That was on KD8 UTF. Maybe we could send out an email survey looking to find out, you know, have people respond yes or no, what, you know, radio they have, and there you might even find people finally asking a question about what one do I get or how do I get one. Over.
But you're saying you send out an email asking if they have one yet and let that act as a reminder that maybe they ought to look into this. Is that what you're saying?
Well, at the same time, you might get, you know, some feedback and email, you know, 10% of the group has radios, 20%, half the group. And, you know, just we really need to push getting hardware in people's hands. October's going to be a crazy month on these parts, I think. So we really need to get on.
Hello?
Over.
Yeah, I think... I just to what the gentleman was just speaking about the network. I think that's where you're leading to. How many people are going to be connected to this communication if it needs to go to strictly ham radio? But it's huge for myself. I'm one person, but I've already linked a couple of networks that is going to be, you know, thousands nationwide. So I know there are, you know, several other people have done the same. So there's going to be a lot of people in on this on these communications. Over.
Well, thank you. Who was that? Dang it.
New York Charles.
It was New York who?
New York Charles.
New York Charles. Thank you, New York Charles. I appreciate that input. And I think you're right. The potential for being much larger is very big. But it takes an individual effort, And if you've listened to some of the first recordings that I had, I kind of said it does take a level of commitment and just like learning. I've been reading the Excellence of the Common Law by Brent Winters, and it takes a lot of effort to get through there and stay with it and concentrate. Sometimes it's really beautiful, and sometimes it's just hard. Tem Radio is the same way. It has to be an individual effort, and then once you get up to a certain level, then you can start coordinating with other people and actually using that radio to move communication, move information across the media that you have, the availability to do so. Okay, anybody else want to make a comment?
I do.
Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Dave from Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
I had ordered a Baofeng off of the NLA website. Do you know what the usual wait time is from order to delivery is?
Dan, go ahead.
Did you order it with or without the stations added to it?
I ordered it programmed.
Programmed. I know they shipped a bunch of programmed ones just a couple days ago.
Okay.
I wouldn't think it'd be more than a week or so, a week to 2 weeks. The programming doesn't have that much time because they're shipped from that point anyway.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Over.
Yeah, I might need some help programming mine because I'm not sure. What all are they programming into it?
Okay, who's this?
This is Brad from VA.
Okay, Brad. Anytime you talk on a VHF or UHF radio, you have a few modes that you can operate in. And the two main modes are simplex and duplex. Simplex is where I'm talking to this person over here and they're talking to me. And there are some things you can do like a FRS radio where you can put a side tone on it so that the only people you hear is the person you're talking to. You go up a step where you're talking duplex. What's called duplex is it's I talk on the repeater and you hear it, and then you talk on the repeater and I hear it. And that requires a little bit more because to deconflict these repeaters so nobody bothers anybody, they will put a side tone on it. So we either transmit that subaudible tone or the repeater will not let you key up and use it. And all repeaters, well, not all repeaters, I've seen it different. I'll say all repeaters, but that's an asterisk by the all. The published frequency of the repeater is what the repeater transmits on. And there's some offsets, what's called an offset, to enter that repeater. And the offset could be plus or minus. So on VHF, that offset is 600 megahertz. It's not 600 megahertz, it's 600 kilohertz. So if you want to talk on the 14670 repeater, which is the bark repeater down here in Boulder, your radio, when you push the transmit button, actually jumps to 146.146.1, and that is what the repeater is listening on. Now, everybody else is not transmitting. They're listening on 146.70. The person who's talking, their radio, if they want to be heard off that repeater, it will jump by the standard deviation, or it could be a non-standard deviation depending upon how you set up your repeater. But that the person talking on the repeater who in one sense has the repeater is talking on 146.1 megahertz. Am I making sense?
So it's your dual band. So you're running a dual band. One's talking, one's control?
Nope. What it does is, and this is what comes in the programming, when you push the press to test, it says, oh, he wants to transmit.
Okay.
So I'm going to switch to this programmed frequency, 146.1, and I'm going to transmit on there. I can't hear a thing of what the repeater's doing at that point, even on the other band, because the Bofangs only have one VFO.
Okay.
And I talk, and then when I unkey, it automatically flips back up that 600 kilohertz. On the repeater output again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're running dual band, one transmit, one receive.
No. A dual band implies that you can talk on VHF and UHF at the same time.
Sorry,
there are radios like that.
Dual frequency.
That's not the same thing. I'm sorry?
So you're running a dual frequency, one's transmit, one's receive.
No. Yes. One is transmit and one is receive.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it doesn't flip to the other one until you're ready to transmit. And and it's using the same VFO, so it's in the same band that you're in. That's not always true.
It's just giving you that step off of whatever the 600 kilohertz or whatever.
That's called the offset.
Okay.
That's a good name to write down, offset, because you'll lose it trying to program the radio unless you know it's called an offset.
Okay.
And so it offsets to a different frequency that the repeater is listed on.
Well, I'm looking at my repeaters right now, okay, that I have off of, and I see it says output, and it gives me a frequency, and then it gives me a call, which is going to be their call sign. And then it's giving me the PL. I'm not
PL is the side tone. That's your side tone that you have to set up. It's kind of like FRS where you can have two people. They don't care about anybody else talking. They just want to talk to between themselves. So they both select the same side tone.
Okay.
And the receiver of the person listening will not unsquelch unless that side tone is present. Same thing with the repeater. If that side tone, that PL tone, is not present, the repeater won't listen to that signal. It ignores that signal, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm not saying what we should do, but it would be beneficial to me. And I noticed there's some other people here from Pennsylvania and people here on the East Coast. Maybe we could take one of these Wednesday nights and just get the guys that have the radios and let's get our programs up so that we are at least programmed. If you didn't mind programming.
Yeah, I would like to add something about the programming on the Bofangs when you buy it from NLA. That programming is set up to scan up to a maximum of 15 channels, probably 10 typically, and they will put on the five channels that are the low power. I think they're 1 watt or 2 watts that anybody can use. You don't need a license to use those. There was thought that we would add one frequency or channel for NLA people to use, and then they would add in the emergency groups in your area, pertinent just to you and your locale, and that could be up to 10 of those. So that's the pre-programming, plus NOAA. But now all of those except NOAA can be automatically scanned. You can use it like a scanner. NOAA will not be included in the scanning because it broadcasts 24/7, so it would always dominate the scanner, but you can tune to it anytime you want, whether. So that's what the pre-programming for the Bofang is on our website. So if you buy one with the pre-programming, it'll have all that information in it all ready to go. You don't have to program those in.
Thank you very much for that information, Jan. That was very succinct and very well done. Thank you. And we needed it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry?
I have a question for Jan.
Yes.
Are the frequencies and so forth that you're programming, are they up on the NLA website?
No, they're not actually. The five lower frequencies are low power frequencies are the same, I think, all over the country. the other frequencies will, they go to a map to your closest repeater and give you the repeater and your local area services. So each one is individual. So we'd have to, you know, put up as many as we have units out there. So that was, will probably not be done.
So there's no NLA-specific frequencies at this point?
Oh, that should have been decided. There should be one already programmed in for that, hopefully.
Okay.
I have checked
it. I'd like to cut this off if I could, because we have another meeting right after this one. I don't want to delay them in starting. And I appreciate everyone's participation today. We had about 11 check-ins and 12, if you count me. Jan, you can give us a total if you want. But I think we need to get off at this point.
Yeah, we've got about 17 on right now. Don, that the frequency will be made available as soon as it's settled if it isn't already included. So it'll be up on the website for that one frequency.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you all very much for participating in the NLA Hams Net. We'll talk a little bit more about these topics and other ham topics next week. I hope to see you then. When next Wednesday at 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll see you later. Thanks, everyone, for participating. Excellent.
Thank you.
KI0RE, and I'm clear. Go ahead and stop the recording, Jan.